It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Richer nations have a moral obligation to help poorer ones through the cost of living crisis, so says the World Trade Organization. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. Will Bain back with you today. Thanks for being with us. The WTO's Director General Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala was talking exclusively to the BBC's Rob Young, and he started by asking her if there was a pain-free way for countries struggling with inflation and high debt to overcome their problems.
Well, I don't know what a pain-free way would be, because you mentioned the issue of debt distress due to high interest rates in developed countries. So unless, and central banks in those countries are still fighting inflation, so interest rates are not coming down yet. I think when those interest rates come down, when we can see less depreciation of the local currencies in these countries, when we can see debt restructuring that will allow them to have fiscal space, then we'll begin to see improvements. That should be coupled with lower prices for food and energy globally. I think all these things put together will lessen the pain.
I was talking to Zambia's finance minister the other day, who said that he's optimistic that China and others will agree to help restructure his nation's debt. Do you think richer nations have a moral obligation to the poorest nations to help get them through this crisis?
Yes, absolutely. Not only a moral obligation, it's also good for rich countries to have poor countries function in mixed way, better partnership, better markets. But let's look at it this way. The poorer countries did not cause the problems that we have now. They didn't cause the pandemic. They didn't cause the war in Ukraine. They are not the cause of climate change, another phenomena. So I think we should take that into account. And they're paying an inordinate price for these things. So there is an imperative to try to, one, restructure the debt of these countries in such a way that will give them some relief to be able to finance other things like health, education, and food. To support them financially so that they can also be able to pick up their own agriculture and their own industries. Yes, it's absolutely in the interest of both rich and poor countries to do that.
The BBC's Rob Young speaking with the head of the World Trade Organization, Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala, there. Well, let's check the numbers now. A buoyant start in London, where the FTSE 100 has hit a record high today. It's currently up 0.8% at 7,946. Those bumper results from the energy firm BP we told you about on Tuesday, part of that picture, as have strong results for the drug maker AstraZeneca. Its shares are up around 5%. Not just the UK, though, where we're in positive territory. The DAX in Frankfurt and the CAC 40 in Paris also up around 1.5%. Games developer Activision Blizzard knows a thing or two about battles. It makes the best-selling war game ever made in its Call of Duty franchise. Even so, it has a new significant battle on its hands to try and persuade regulators to allow it to be bought by Microsoft. And it suffered a potentially significant blow in that fight here in the UK yesterday, as the BBC's Stefan Powell reports.
Xbox maker Microsoft want this deal to go through so they can take control of some of gaming's biggest names. Call of Duty, Candy Crush and World of Warcraft are all owned by Activision Blizzard. However, like the US regulator did in December last year, the Competition and Markets Authority in the UK says it has some concerns. Namely, that this deal could result in higher prices, fewer choices, and less innovation by restricting access to Xbox owners only. Microsoft deny this and will spend the next few weeks trying to convince officials that this offers more options to players, not less. For this deal to be a success, regulators in the US, UK, and the EU must be satisfied it's fair. The next few weeks will be crucial. I'm the BBC's Stefan Powell for Marketplace.
The Swiss bank Credit Suisse has been something of a byword for scandal and stumbles in recent years. That might explain why the bank slumped to its largest annual loss since the 2008 financial crash today. How did it get there and how does it get out the mire? We asked independent banking analyst Francis Coppola.
Well, it's a massive loss, but it is, I think, about what a lot of people were expecting. It could have been worse. They've managed to shore up their liquidity. They've managed to shore up their capital a bit. They've obviously got an immense amount to do to turn this into a viable business again, though.
Just remind people how Credit Suisse got to this state.
It's been in trouble for quite some time. It was badly affected by Greensill and then by the collapse of Archegos. And then in the fourth quarter of last year, there was an unfortunate leak, which sparked panic and a run on the bank. They had massive, massive outflows. And because of that, they've had a huge fall in revenue.
Not just outflows of customers' cash, but also massive job cuts now as well.
Yeah, about 9,000, which is, I guess, about a fifth or so of their workforce. It's a lot. But if you look at their cost-income ratio, they really have to do something. It's absolutely mammoth at the moment. One thing slightly puzzled me in these results is that they're actually going to give a dividend, which I think is a rather weird decision, considering the pressure they're under and the sacrifices they're going to have to make.
Talk us through what the rebuild should, could, might look like.
The real pain here, the real problem, is the investment bank, which has all but collapsed, really. So the first thing they're going to try and do is essentially rebuild that on a better footing. They're changing its name, so it's going to be CS First Boston, revitalising an old brand from the past, which they've brought in a big hitter, essentially, to run it, to try and change the whole way it works.
Given the results of other banks in Europe with big profits, they really do stick out, don't they, these results to date. It feels like it's a long way back.
Yes, and they kept going on about the challenging macro environment, and I was scratching my head and thinking, but all the other banks are making big profits, why aren't you? The challenging macro environment, I think, is to do with their own problems. Rising interest rates are generally pretty beneficial to banks, and I'm a little bit disturbed that they didn't come clean on that a bit more in their presentation.
That's the banking analyst Francis Coppola there. Remember, if you did miss our show earlier in the week on BP's Bumper Profits, you can listen back, search for our podcast, The Marketplace Morning Report, wherever you get yours from. From our team here, from James Graham, from Olivia Michelli, thanks so much for listening to The Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.